Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Icy winter weather. I'm seeing already on our Facebook page some of you sharing photos of your winter experience in places where it's not a typical piece of your winter experience. So it's kind of neat. I love it. I love the snow photos. I love the fact that you all get to see the beauty of the snow and experience the quiet of the snow. This is awesome. So John sends a couple photos that his son and grandson built a snowman in Texas. And that's awesome. It's Texas, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, all kinds of places where they don't normally have snow. Even Oklahoma had some snow, like big time snow last week. I was really jealous. Some friends had 6 to 8 inches and we had nothing on the ground in New Jersey. This New Hampshire girl loves snow. And for that reason, I really enjoyed seeing all the pictures. So you can send them to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also on our Twix show account at Amy After Hours and then at A Law Radio. And while you're there, vote for TD of the week. You'll hear those candidates before this half hour is done. I know I made that promise before, but we were talking about baseball. Radio's a live amoeba. It's a live entity. So I got to go with it. I got to roll with it sometimes. And then also you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything with that icy frozen Elsa theme. By the way, I keep seeing this. I don't know if this is happening with our other hosts here on the network, but the questions keep coming in about SiriusXM. There are a lot of people who listen via satellite radio. Now, I also have SiriusXM. I couldn't live without it. I've had it for probably 20 years because that's how I follow games out of market a lot of times if I don't have the option of watching on TV. It happens sometimes during NFL season where there's a big game that I want to watch and I don't have access to it. And so instead I listen to it on the radio, but also it allows me to do the commute to work and still follow games, especially during the playoffs when there's so much happening in hoops and hockey. And so I understand. Now, I happen to listen for the most part in my home. I listen on my app. So I have it on my phone. And then I also have a speaker, so a Bose speaker that I can connect with via Bluetooth. So that's how I listen to a lot of stuff in my home. In my car, though, I listen to the actual XM radio. And some of you do the same thing and you can't find us anymore. We moved to channel 375. We were on 158. We're now on channel 375. Now, I acknowledge, by the way, this is way above my pay grade. People are yelling at me about how it's not accessible in some of the car radios. And I get that. I have an older XM car radio. I don't think it's accessible on mine. So that's why I use my app when I need to. Because on the app, the SiriusXM app, you can list, you can get every channel, way more than you'll ever need. So for those of you who are trying to find 375 and don't have it, I mean, that's a real thing too. I was told by our former boss who now works at SiriusXM that unfortunately the move to 375 eclipses, he told me 40% of people don't have that channel on their car radios, meaning their older SiriusXM models. So I don't have it built into Princess Leia. She's too old for that. She's a 2015. But I do have an actual radio. And yeah, like I said, sometimes I can't access the same channel, so I'll use the app instead. So I am sorry about that. I know it's inconvenient, especially when we get into our routines. When you're driving, you're in your car, you like to be able to listen to the same channels, the same networks. So we are on 375 now on SiriusXM. So I hope that you can find it. If not, you can try to use the app or the website, actually. And these days, and I know because I've been a subscriber for such a long time, they give you the access to the internet / app for, I think, a really small extra fee. It's not real expensive because I live on a radio salary and I still manage to afford it. But it's just a little bit extra if you, or you could do solo app, just do the app, just do the online access and not have it in your car. So I apologize for that change. Like I said, I've heard from a bunch of you, but that's where we are now on Sirius XM. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. A big sports birthday on January 22nd, which is the day we're heading into. I'll give you some time to try to figure it out if you like. But January 22nd is the birthday of one very popular as well as trendy athlete in sports. So that's all I'm going to say. But you can figure it out or you can just wait and we'll talk a little bit about this athlete. I don't even want to say gender because that will potentially give it away. But yeah, I just discovered this as I was doing the research for the show. Like, oh, whoa, we can talk about that. That would be cool. It's maybe not quite as cool as LeBron James and Tiger Woods sharing a birthday, which to me is pretty incredible. Or my favorite athlete of all time, Larry Bird, having his birthday on Pearl Harbor Day. So I never forget it because it's December 7th. But this is something that when I tell you, it'll make sense to you. And we'll definitely spend a little time talking about this athlete and wishing this athlete a happy birthday of sorts. So send your questions for Ask Amy. Vote for TD of the Week. Hang in there with us. We'll get to some football here momentarily. And also, Dan Hurley's at it again. He called himself a monster this time. Dan Hurley and I follow each other online, and he is, yeah, he's just as fiery when he's away from the sidelines. I think he enjoys the process of giving it back to people. He's not one to take insults or criticisms lying down. I'll say that. So really quickly with the Hall of Fame, Ichiro and CC Sabathia, first ballot Hall of Famers. Ichiro comes one vote shy of being unanimous. So that puts him in the same category as Derek Jeter. Snubbed, I tell you. So it's become a bit of history now, history trivia. Derek Jeter and Ichiro, two surefire first ballot Hall of Famers that did not get in unanimously. So kind of funny, I guess, because it doesn't matter. They don't put your bust in a different place or in a different room if you don't get in unanimously. But it is kind of goofy that not everybody voted for Ichiro. But with my apologies to those two, great stories. In fact, former teammates. I love the Billy Wagner story. I love the Billy Wagner component. If you have not seen the video of Wagner getting the phone call from the Hall of Fame, you need to watch it. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know, Producer Pete, if you want to try to retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours. It was extremely emotional, but you can understand why. Because he waited a decade. And when he first started this process, meaning going back to his very first year of eligibility, I saw the stat that kind of blew me away. He was the recipient of not even 11% of the vote. So 10 years ago, when he first started, he didn't even have 11% of the vote on the first ballot. Here's something to remember. Thank you, Pete. Pete did share this on social at Amy After Hours. It's really emotional, but special. And honestly, you can maybe make out three or four words from Wagner. That's pretty much it, but that's all you need. So for Wagner, and for anybody who has to wait, it doesn't necessarily mean they aren't Hall of Famers or that people don't see them as special talents or aren't considering them for the Hall. A lot of times, and I was schooled on this a few years ago by someone who votes for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a lot of times it has to do with who else is on the ballot. And now, in the case of baseball, you can vote for up to 10. But if you think about it, and there's a wide array of talented athletes and contributors and managers and coaches and all this kind of stuff. If there's a wide array and you're talking about 400 roughly voters, people can go in a lot of different directions. But it's not just about Billy Wagner in a vacuum. Gosh, we talk about this with, say, the Ravens. How many more times they might have been to the Super Bowl, or the Bills, how many times they might have been to the Super Bowl in this most recent era if not for the Chiefs. The Chiefs, they're blocking teams from the AFC. There's only so much room when the Chiefs go to 7 consecutive AFC championships. And before that, the Patriots. There's only so much room when the Patriots go every year for a decade. Well, that's kind of the deal with some of these Hall of Famers, is that you've got years in which the ballot is crowded, and there are guys that you can't possibly leave off because they are first ballot guys. However, waiting a decade, I can imagine first of all, as someone who's waited a long time for a lot of things, waiting is really hard. And to have to go through that process every year, the letdown, oh, the disappointment sometimes is the hardest part. But in his 10th and final appearance on the writer's ballot, he earns nearly 83%. Why is that? Well, because there were only two other guys that were considered surefire first ballot overwhelming choices on this 2025 ballot. So that leaves room for people to look at Billy Wagner and reconsider his resume. He's the 9th pitcher to make the Hall of Fame primarily as a reliever, whether closer or bullpen guy. But he's the first lefty. How about that? So congratulations to Billy, who broke down in tears when he got the call from the Hall.
I don't even know how to express it. From Southwest Virginia, I mean, when I think about what I represent from Division III to Southwest Virginia to state of Virginia, you know, it's such a blessing.
When you see the photo, sorry, the videos, not the photo. When you see the videos, he gets the call. Does it look like he's standing against a pool table?
It is.
He and his wife are standing against a pool table. Maybe they're down in their game room. Or, I don't know, could they get a cell signal down there? And his wife is understandably supportive because of everything he's been through over the last 10 years. He gets the call. I think I hear him say, this is him, or this is, or yes, sir, it's me, something along those lines. And then just the tears, the emotions come pouring out of him. And I don't think he says anything else, maybe something else quite at the end, like a thank you. But that's pretty much it. He just listens the whole time. And of course, his wife, as I say, she was there to offer support, but sometimes there are no words. And so what a blessing for her as well that he finally realized his dream.
It's a long road. I mean, my career was long and, you know, good times and bad times, but, you know, she rode that bus the whole way. And, you know, without her, I wouldn't be here.
Billy Wagner, brownie points. Major props if you can tell me where he pitched. I've never heard of this place before. Pete, have you ever heard of Ferrum College?
Oh, no. Well, college, right? No. No.
Ferrum College. It's not even a university. Ferrum College.
I thought you were asking me which teams, whatever.
How about this? Wagner is the first pitcher to make it to Cooperstown after going through a D3 school. He did not pitch D1. He did not pitch D2. And here's what I know about D3 schools. They don't give you scholarship money. Not for sports. You can get scholarship money for other things, but not for sports. So Wagner went to Ferrum College. First D3 pitcher ever to make it to Cooperstown. Oh my gosh. I love his story. And as he talks about from Southwest Virginia. One more, though, from Billy Wagner. This is cool. Apparently there was a childhood friend who he used to play baseball with a lot. And the reason he became a lefty is because he and this friend of his, they were playing baseball and he broke his arm.
Chip was a big fan. I'm a big fan of Chip right now. I mean, who would have thought that a kid from across the street would come over to my grandmother's house and play football with me and follow my right arm, and next thing you know, I'd be a Hall of Famer. I mean, if God isn't great and have a purpose, I don't know what does.
So he and his friend were playing football. His friend Chip fell on his arm. He broke it, his right one. And so for that reason, he had to start pitching lefty. What a great story. Seriously, it's got all kinds of chapters and elements. And again, please go check out the video. It's on our show Twix now at Amy After Hours, courtesy of MLB. And yeah, the emotions. You don't even need the words. It's that incredible. You know exactly what's happening. So neat. I love Hall of Fame Day. I know that there are some who didn't realize their dreams. Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones. Every year about this time, Andrew Jones gets a lot of play on social. Guys who played with him, guys who play against him, trying to figure out why he's not in the Hall of Fame. In case you're wondering, Beltran was on 70% of the ballots, including our friend Bob Nightingale, and I revealed his earlier, but you need 75% to get in to the Hall of Fame. And people are pretty confident that next year he'll get in.
It's a very light candidate year.
Right, it is. And then also Andrew Jones, who, similar to Ichiro, was a 10-time Gold Glove outfielder. He was on 66% of the ballots. So up about 5% from a year ago and still has two more years of eligibility. So a lot of people believe that next year would be the year for Beltran and in Jones. But again, this has to do not just with the names that are on the ballot and their resumes, but also about how long guys have been on the ballot and how many options there are and that type of stuff. I believe the process is better than what it was. I know a lot of people still have an issue with the process. It's a hard hole to get into. Pete, which one would you say is the hardest to get into? Basketball, no, because it seems like everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
You know what? I would say football.
Would you?
Because I think it's the best process.
Oh, yeah. It's an extensive process. It's got multiple tiers. It goes over a year's time.
Yeah, and there's debate. Mm-hmm. There's discussion.
Yeah, they do.
To pitch the candidate.
Yeah,
in the
they
room.
Do Zoom calls. Each voter is responsible for a candidate right. or two that they have to then present once they get to, the semifinals or the finalists. Yeah, it's really extensive. It's kind of fun to hear about that process. We've had different guests here who've talked to us about the process for the hall. But I sometimes feel like the Baseball Hall is harder only because of the writers and, I don't know, just...
Well, I think the Baseball Hall of Fame has an issue with new technology, people that write for websites and that type of stuff.
Gotcha.
How is that going to factor into the voting moving forward? I'm sure that they're starting to account for it. But there are still some people that have votes for the Baseball Hall of Fame that don't really cover the sport anymore.
Yeah.
So that's another issue there.
Right. They're trying to clean it up. They definitely are. But yes, it's been criticized royally, which is why they've kind of pulled the top off and made it more public. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, our Facebook page, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week here on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Summer's helping into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Three receivers to the right. Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game. An 11-yard touchdown. Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce. And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
Washington Commanders.
Pressure up the middle. Goff has time, throws. Oh, and it's picked off! That is picked off by Quan Martin. 25-20, 15, 10, 5, pick 6, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Quan Martin!
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts in the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. That'll lock it up.
The Buffalo Bills.
There's a snap. Handoff goes. No, it's an Allen keeper, and he's going to run it in. A four-yard touchdown run on the read option keeper by Allen. 17 is a scoring machine. Simply put, no one scores points like Josh Allen. He is the Michael Jordan of the NFL.
You've got a few minutes to vote, just under an hour, for the TD of the week following the divisional round, divisional weekend, producing, I think, some surprises as well as some pretty impressive matchups for championship weekend. One inside the NFC East. How about that? On Commanders Radio, Quan Martin with a pick six. One of those stunning moments against the Lions in Detroit. Then on Eagles Radio, Saquon Barkley over 200 yards again. 78-yard touchdown scamper was the one that just revealed his incredible joy. Smacking himself on the helmet as an outlet because, of course, he can't clap his hands at that point. Then he's racing along the back of the end zone after he scores the TD. Slides into the snow. Teammates like A.J. Brown are sliding along with him. Man, I couldn't help but smile over Saquon Barkley's exuberance. So that was awesome. And what a year he's had on Eagles Radio. Those two teams form your NFC Championship. Then from Bills Radio, Josh Allen's second touchdown run of the first half against the Ravens put them up by 11. But also it was one of those bully runs. It's 4 yards out. He's dragging people with him.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So strong, and as Chris Brown termed it, the beast. I don't know if anybody scores touchdowns like Michael Jordan. I don't know how many touchdowns Michael Jordan has, but you get the idea. And then Travis Kelce, who had another one of his Hall of Fame games in the playoffs. He was really the highlight and the high note for the Chiefs as they're facing that Texans defense that put a lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes. But this particular moment, Pat is under pressure. He's falling forward, so he's almost horizontal to the ground and still has the upper body strength to be able to fire the ball. I mean, it wasn't a zinger. This wasn't a laser like he can throw, but it got to a Travis Kelce who somehow was all alone in the back of the end zone. I don't know how that happens, but he knows how to get open. And so that touchdown catch, That was huge, and it really did help the Chiefs in a game which offense was a little harder to come by. So you can send your questions in for Ask Amy, and you can vote at the same time at Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page as well, and we'll get the big reveal coming up a little bit later on the Hump Show. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Before we get to our break here at the bottom of the hour, how about an update on some of the coaching searches in the NFL? Because there's one that I think is going according to plan, maybe except for the fact that it's not a done deal yet, and that's the Jets, but they seem to have a marriage in the very near future. We could see the wedding announcement or the engagement announcement, the wedding announcement, I guess, until the contract is signed. But then with the Dallas Cowboys, I've been kind of wondering what's going on, and we're getting the reports from Ian Rappaport. So let's start with the Jets. By the way, Ben Johnson off the table, introduced by the Bears. He was received in a very warm welcome on Tuesday, similar to what we saw with the Raiders and Tom Brady the first time he walked into the facility, and they've got people up the stairs, across the balcony, down the stairs on the other side, all around the foyer and the offices to welcome Brady. He was kind of overwhelmed. I feel like the Bears knew they had to make it as impressive if they were going to put it on social media. So yes, Ben Johnson, he is off the table. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, looks like the Jets are the right spot for him. Now, remember, he prefers the Jets. That's the report that we've read. So why isn't it done?
Well, it did sound like a productive day for the New York Jets and Aaron Glenn as both sides tried to make it happen so Aaron Glenn can be the next head coach of the New York Jets, which, of course, would represent a homecoming. Aaron Glenn, first-round draft pick from the Jets, became an all-pro with the Jets, had his first coaching job with the Jets. There's a lot of love from both sides, and it's not just between Aaron Glenn and the Jets. From my understanding, plenty of Jets legends have reached out to all parties to be like, this should happen. He is a member of the family. Him being the next head coach of the Jets would make absolute sense. Again, it did sound like it went well today, as, by the way, it did for Lance Newmark, the Washington Commanders assistant general manager, who was trying to be the new GM of the Jets. There's just no deal yet, and these things can take some time. They take on many shapes and sizes and different forms. They all have a trajectory to their own, so it has not happened yet, but I have not gotten any sense that there's any issues. But as you mentioned, Aaron Glenn, of course, was a assistant coach with the Saints. That looms whenever weather allows them to have interviews. So if a deal does not get done, I would expect him to go there. I'm just saying, nothing final on the Jets just yet.
So that's New York. But again, Aaron Glenn has indicated that's where he wants to be, at least through his camp. The reports are out there that he prefers the Jets because of his history with the team. So those are your two coordinators from the Detroit Lions, both likely gone, if not to New York, then potentially to the Saints, which is kind of interesting that Darren Rizzi, if he doesn't end up getting the job as the Saints head coach, which I feel like that's a stretch. I don't think that's the direction they're going, but he reportedly already has an invite to join Ben Johnson in Chicago, as does Dennis Allen, who was ousted earlier in the season by the Saints, but now they would bring in Aaron Glenn. So it's just a tangled web. What about the Cowboys? So you hear Ian Rappaport talking about the Jets and maybe this component with the Saints, but what about the Cowboys? This is the one that I'm really intrigued by because I was sure that they were going to keep Mike McCarthy. Well, I was pretty sure they were going to keep Mike McCarthy. It sounded like they wanted to keep Mike McCarthy. Then because of the timing, not that they can't interview all these guys. Most of them are still available, although now Ben Johnson's gone. But it feels like they got in late to try to get organized. The process itself, you have to figure out, you know, in your front office and with the ownership / GM, which happens to be the same guy. How do you want to approach it? Do you want to work with a firm? You know, who do you want to reach out to? What's your philosophy and the direction you want moving forward? And so he can kind of put you behind the eight ball. So Rappaport then updates NFL Network on what's happening with Dallas.
Well, where they are right now is they are interviewing Brian Schottenheimer. I don't get the sense that anything is done or imminent, famous last words, but that is where it stands right now. But obviously, they've only interviewed four candidates now including him. That goes to show you how real it is. Now, there's some other things that clearly they're waiting on. Could they be waiting for Kellen Moore to be finished with the playoffs? For sure they could. But to me, at the very least, this feels real. And so if I were to try to explain why this interview makes some sense, I would say one you just said, which is there have been plenty of times when Brian Schottenheimer, called Shotty by his players, has been a hot head coaching candidate. He's got a really strong resume, not just as an offensive coordinator. I know people look at the numbers, but as a leader and someone who can keep up the culture that the Cowboys have. The familiarity would be there as well. For instance, if you are someone who likes Dak Prescott having a lot of success in an offense, you'd have a lot of continuity and some similar offensive schemes from before. And then, look, I mean, for the Cowboys, I know we talked about this, Tom, there is definitely a thought that for Jerry Jones, he didn't maybe want to pay top dollar for a head coach. This probably wouldn't be that. It's at least something the Cowboys are exploring, and we'll see what direction it goes.
I can't remember who threw the poll out there on Twix, giving four candidates for the Dallas head coaching job. Robert Saleh is another name that we're hearing. I mean, he's got some head coaching experience. He's obviously got intensity. I don't know, though. Does he want to deal with another owner who is somewhat overbearing, maybe a little bit eccentric? The thing is, though, there's only 32 of these jobs, and very few of these guys, especially if they have just been fired or want to get into coaching, will turn a gig down. And I don't know how many people would turn down the Dallas Cowboys. But you tell me, Marco, does Shotty, Brian Schottenheimer, move the needle, no, so to speak? Resonate? Is
not
this the type of splash that you would expect from the Cowboys?
Absolutely not.
You dilly-dally, you screw around, you reportedly undersell or undercut Mike McCarthy in terms of years, maybe even money. You don't want to pay him commensurate with some of the highest paid coaches in the NFL, even though you yourself, as an owner and a team, are the richest franchise in the NFL. And then you go to Brian Schottenheimer. No, I don't get it.
I don't buy it. I just don't, because it doesn't. Look, I know Ian Rapoport just said it doesn't fit for me. If you want to make the splash, then Deion Sanders is your coach.
Oh, if
you don't want to make the splash and you want to go cheap, then Kellen Moore is your coach, because he's been there and there's the familiarity. So I don't buy that Brian Schottenheimer is going to slide in here unless Kellen Moore tells you no. So, and I don't think he would. Why would Kellen Moore turn the job down? And why, if you're Jerry Jones, are you not going to go to a young, cheap coach that you're familiar with? You would go to Kellen Moore. That was the guy that you'd been.
But is that an upgrade?
Upgrade or not, that's a different conversation.
Okay.
That's different, because Mike McCarthy, obviously, that's a road that they didn't want to go down for a million reasons. And I don't believe that it was something, well, we tried. You knew you didn't want it, because if you offered him something that you knew he wasn't going to take, that you didn't want the guy to still be there. So for whatever reason, that he's not an option. So if you want the big name splash, you want to be in the headlines, then Deion Sanders is your next head coach. If you don't,
He's going to be a winner at the NFL level?
It doesn't matter about winner. It's about splash and headlines. You can't get a guy that's going to make more headlines than Deion Sanders.
You just let a guy walk who led you to three seasons with double-figure wins, three playoff appearances.
We're having different conversations. Splash and headline, Deion Sanders, no one better. There's nobody that's going to make a bigger headline and a bigger splash than Deion Sanders. Whether or not it works is a different conversation. But that's the guy if you want to be in the center, in the limelight. If you want to hire cheaper, and you want to hire familiar, and you want to be more in control, and he's kind of my underling, then Kellen Moore is your head coach. He's Jason Garrett 2.0. That's all that is. I don't see how Schottenheimer comes involved in this conversation, other than you can't talk to Kellen Moore right now, and you can talk to Brian Schottenheimer.
And Schottenheimer was on the staff, so more accessible. He's been there, so you're familiar with him, too. And as you point out, Jerry Jones prefers people that he has some familiarity with.
Mm-hmm.
And so Schottenheimer at least is available and accessible. I can't imagine, though, this would be what Cowboys fans want. Not that that is the overriding factor. But
no, I mean, you have to think about that stuff, but really, you shouldn't be hiring a coach thinking about what your fans want. I mean, you should be hiring a coach because you feel like this is the best guy to lead your organization. But Jerry Jones doesn't necessarily think logically in that regard, because a lot of times he wants to do what he wants to do, whether it's the headline splash to be in the limelight, to be the center of attention, which he loves that the Cowboys are, or he wants somebody that's going to know their position and know the chain of command.
I will say this about Shotty. He's, of course, the son of Marty Schottenheimer, mm-hmm. who was a longtime coach in the NFL. But his son has been an assistant since 1997. So we're talking about nearly 20 years of experience in the NFL, NFL and college level, I should clarify. But he's been an offensive coordinator for four different NFL teams. And the big knock with him is just he's not quite as creative, shall we use that word, as some of the other guys, like, say, a Mike McDaniel. He's not as innovative as maybe a Ben Johnson, but, you know, he's got a lot of experience. And he was the OC, but, of course, Mike McCarthy was calling play. So once Kellen Moore was gone, first to L.A. and then to Philly, it was Mike McCarthy's job. But Schottenheimer was his right-hand man, if you will. I just don't get this. I don't get this progression. He's never been an NFL head coach. So now you've got him. You've got Kellen Moore. Eddie George interviewed. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if that's a Rooney Rule thing, but Eddie George, who's coaching.
That was the Bears, though, right? I thought it was Cowboys?
I thought the Cowboys interviewed him.
Maybe I misread that. I thought it was the Bears. But yeah, that's an interesting name because I didn't see that coming.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm just reading that wrong.
No, it could be me. I could be remembering it poorly. I remember the name was in the...
You remember nothing wrong.
Well, that's not true. But he was definitely a name that was interviewed in this cycle in the last week or so. Bears? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. So, the names that are out there outside of Dion, who I don't think has accepted any interviews. I've not heard that he's interviewed anywhere. Only that he spoke to the Cowboys, not that he's interviewed officially for the job. These coaches teams tend to put it out there when they've been interviewed. I just don't get it. I don't get what you're doing here. Like if one of these guys was better for the job than Mike McCarthy, I might maybe be on board, but it feels like you cut off your nose to spite your face. You didn't offer the money or the years to keep McCarthy, so he, like you point out, it was like confirmation, I'm supposed to leave. You really don't want me here.
Yeah, I don't think they want McCarthy.
A little bit of Saquon Barkley with the Giants, right?
Well, I'm...
Go ahead, Margo.
No, I was going to say, I truly, I don't think they wanted McCarthy. If they wanted him, he'd be there. I don't think they wanted him, and they had every reason... They tried everything to make sure that it was McCarthy supposedly walking away as opposed to we're letting you go.
What's the difference?
I don't know, but they did not want it. If they wanted him, they would have him. Nobody else wants him, so they would have him.
Ouch.
Another thing
that's like that nobody else wants Bill Belichick thing?
Jerry Jones is notoriously known for being cheap.
Yeah.
With his coaches. So whoever he brings in, he's not going to pay much for it.
I don't think that would be Dion.
Well, that's the thing, but he's
underselling
made,
Dion.
You're right, but see the thing, he's done that where he made exceptions. When he hired Parcells, he opened up the purse. When he hired Jason Garrett, he did it cheap. Like he does it in his way. When he gets the splash, he'll pay the money. If it's not a splash, you get nothing.
At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, our Facebook page too. Coming up, a little bit of Bill Belichick, Tom Brady giving us analysis over divisional weekend, which I find fascinating. The Ravens and the Commanders, the two teams that they were talking about specifically. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, and there was some speculation that teams wanting to trade for Kevin O'Connell, but the Vikings making sure to lock him up. O'Connell reportedly agrees on a multi-year contract extension following the 14-win campaign. 39-year-old is 34-17 in his three seasons, including two playoff appearances. Patriots turning back to a familiar face. They're expected to hire Josh McDaniels as their offensive coordinator under new head coach Mike Vrabel. Now, McDaniels held the same role twice for Bill Belichick, served 13 years, including three Super Bowl victories. Baseball Hall of Fame is getting three new members as Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, and Billy Wagner all voted in. Ichiro came within one vote of a unanimous selection. Well, Wagner gets the nod in his final year of eligibility, made sure to thank a childhood friend that helped him get to Cooperstown.
Chip was a big fan. I'm a big fan of Chip right now. I mean, who would have thought that a kid from across the street would come over to my grandmother's house and play football with me and follow my right arm, and next thing you know, I'd be a Hall of Famer. I mean, if God isn't great and have a purpose, I don't know what does.
That from MLB Network is Wagner referring to breaking his right arm as a child, which then taught him to throw left-handed, and now he's the first left-handed reliever in Cooperstown. Meanwhile, Carlos Beltran fell just short of induction, gets just over 70% of the vote with 75% needed. NBA, the Lakers punished the Wizards 111-88. LeBron James 21 as part of a triple-double. Anthony Davis 29 and 16 rebounds. 18th triple-double of the season for Nikola Jokic, including 27 points. Nuggets batter the Sixers 144-109. Blazers down the Heat 116-107. DeAndre Ayton 22 points, 15 rebounds.
Knicks erased the Nets 99-95, 25 points, 16 boards for Carl Anthony Towns, and the Raptors disposed of the Magic 109-93. Suns seem to be getting in a little better position to land Jimmy Butler, possibly. They pick up three first-round picks from the Jazz in exchange for their first-rounder in 2031. College hoops, Iowa State dominated UCF 108-83. Alabama punished Vanderbilt 103-87. Tennessee handled Mississippi State 68-56. Marquette had no problems with Seton Hall 76-59. Ohio State shocked Purdue 73-70. UConn survived Butler in overtime 80-78. Arizona State surprised West Virginia 65-57, while Oregon dubbed Washington 82-71. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
For the tie, the two-point conversion. Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete, no!
He dropped it!
Mark Andrews hit him in the hands! And Mark Andrews dropped it as he fell into the end zone.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the call from Ravens Radio and Jerry Sandusky. And I know a lot of people are pinpointing that moment with Mark Andrews, but it was just one moment in a series of fumbles, if you will. And I mean literal, but I also mean figurative fumbles. Fumbling away the game, fumbling away opportunities. Wasting would be another way to say it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I thought it was interesting to hear the recap, the reaction, the analysis from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. We may not have this much longer, at least with Bill, because he's heading into a new phase as a college coach. But for now, he's still part of Let's Go on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And this was his synopsis and reaction to what he saw with Bills and Ravens.
I've been saying this all year about the Ravens. I think they're maybe the best team in football, but when they've beaten themselves, they've beaten themselves. Unfortunately, another example of that for the Ravens. They fumble the ball. The quarterback fumbles the ball without getting hit. The tight end fumbles the ball really without even getting hit. They drop a couple of key passes. They drop a two-point conversion. I think when you look at it, the Ravens aren't saying, well, we got beat by Buffalo. They really outplayed us. I think they're saying we had some easy opportunities and we just screwed them up. And that's heartbreaking when that happens.
Tom, give us the trademark line. You can't.
I used it on the air the other day. I said, hey, my old coach used to say you can't win till you can keep from losing. And that's the reality. And it's just the self-inflicted wounds. They've done it. And Baltimore had a great season, but it comes to a screeching halt when you don't do some of the things they've done so well all season. That's playoff football.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in such a completely different relationship now. A completely different dynamic. But I learned a lot by hearing Tom. I know some people have complained about Brady as an analyst. I feel like he's gotten really good. Pete, do you, when you listen to him on TV, do you feel like he's still trying too hard or he's still too nervous? Because those were two of the things that I think people recognized at the beginning.
No, he's fine. He is giving you a perspective that you want on a broadcast, something that you don't hear normally, something that you want to hear from a player like that. You want to hear the insight that only he can provide, and he's been doing it, and he's been doing a great job.
Yeah, I think he's getting better every week, and I hope someone gave him the advice. This is what I tell former pro athletes. I have some who ask me, well, I tell them welcome to the dark side, but I have some that ask me, what do you think about broadcasting? Do you have any advice for me? And I tell them, you know, the vast majority of people listening or watching have never been in your shoes. All you need to do is share your experience and what you would do in that situation, or explain what they're seeing, what they're thinking, you know, what they're processing, because most of us have never played at a level at which there's such depth to the position and there's such an understanding of all the different nuances. So all you have to do is be Tom Brady and tell us what you see, and you're already way ahead of the game. So I think, yeah, for Brady, he's gotten a lot better. And according to his agent, he is in no way planning to step away from being the number one broadcaster on Fox, even though they have the Super Bowl this year and won't have it for a couple of years after that. I don't know the rotation, but he comes in at the right time. I have zero doubts that that was planned, Pete. Remember, he took the year off. Not only he probably needed to debrief, and I've said this before, I think it's pretty obvious he was preparing as well, working with coaches, doing practice games probably. He got more and more open and talkative about football, about some of the games and some of the storylines from football on his year off on the radio show. So he was clearly gearing up for it. I don't think he wanted to go into it green without any preparation. But also, it's strategic that Fox has the Super Bowl this year. He's jumping in at the time at which he gets to do a Super Bowl with Kevin Burkhardt. I hope they make Tom Brady available, Kevin Burkhardt available as part of the press availability leading up to Super Bowl during that week on Radio Row. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.